Hey, Russell Evans here. We're so excited that you've joined us today at Planet Shakers Church. We trust this message will impact and change your life.
This is a game-changing year. Genesis chapter 26, verse 12, it says, Isaac sowed in the land and reaped in the same year a hundredfold. How many know that's a supernatural harvest right there? To sow in the land and in that same year reap a hundredfold. That's out there. That's amazing. That's incredible. You know, how many would like that type of harvest this year? A hundredfold harvest. Isaac sowed in the land and reaped in the same year a hundredfold, and the Lord blessed him. Verse 13 goes on and it says, the man began to prosper and continued to prosper until he became very prosperous. I love that, by the way. The man began to prosper. He continued to prosper until he became very prosperous. I really believe there's a danger in life that we prosper in a moment, that we have off the chain incredible moments, but there's a danger that we don't continue to prosper. I love the fact that Isaac didn't just prosper in a moment, he continued to prosper until he became prosperous. I don't know what your year was like last year, but I want to declare over your life that God's got something bigger. You know, Isaac's name means laughter. A hundredfold harvest, if you got that in your life, how many would laugh at the goodness of God? Come on, I believe God's about to do something outside of the paradigm of your thinking, outside of what you've known. You know, I see many people coming into a new year, they make New Year's resolutions. Anybody make some New Year's resolutions? Sit down, write down some goals. And often we think, well, you know, this year, what do I want to change? And we think, well, if I just work harder at it, maybe I'll get the results I desire. And so we discipline ourselves to work harder. But then come the end of the year, as with other years, we don't fulfill the feeling we desire on the inside. And so we think working harder doesn't work. We think, oh, well, we'll just work smarter. And so what we do is we get a few self-help books, read them over summertime, look at Netflix and watch the Japanese lady on there. How many have done that? And I think I just need to order my world better. You know, I need to be smarter about what's going on. And we think we'll just be smarter, but you know, we find that doesn't really bring the shift and the change we desire. Yeah, sure, we may incrementally improve, but we don't see the explosion that we desire in our hearts. So we work harder, we work smarter, and then we think, well, we just need to be better. We just need to do things more excellently. And we beat ourselves up to be better, but we still don't see what we desire. You know, I love the fact that when Jesus came, he didn't come to warm our hearts as much as shatter our categories. He didn't come to make a few alterations and tweaks. He came to change the system. He came to change the game. You know, too many of us have settled for, you know, small incremental growth, where we make just a few adjustments on what we did last year, and we hope for phenomenal results this year. But I love Jesus because when he stepped into people's world, he changed their world. He would often say, you've heard it said, but I say to you. What was he doing in that moment? He was changing their paradigm of thoughts. You know, I want to say right at the beginning of 2019, you know, you can't settle with the bridge that you used yesterday. In fact, one newspaper said, here's a bridge that's taking people from nowhere to nothing. You know, I hate the fact that many places, these churches, you know, who celebrate the beautiful bridge, but in the end, they're taking people from nowhere to nothing. I'm glad I'm in a church this morning that's full of life, full of the presence of God, full of his power, who's hungry for a move of God, who are not going to settle on yesterday, but are going to step into everything that God has for their life. Come on, if you're a part of that church, let's give God a big clap of praise right now. Come on, let's lift the roof off this place. The game has changed. And if you're playing today's game off yesterday's strategy, you're stuck. And you're stuck with a stupid strategy. Come on, God's got something bigger. How many here like cricket? Anybody, any cricket fans? I'm sure we should have some Indians in the crowd this one. No, I won't go there, don't worry. I want you to be people full of faith. But how many know the game's changed when it comes to cricket? 250 used to be a big score. Used to be a score, you know, it's par. In fact, if you had 50 runs come the 15th over, you're on to get a good score. But the game's shifted, it's changed. You know, now in cricket, they're getting scores 400 plus. You know, that once was unimaginable. Well, 400 runs in a 50 over match. You know, I really believe God wants to shift things in a way where we look at 250 and we go, nah, come on, there's more in Jesus' name. You know, so many of us, you know, we can't see it because we're just trying to make tweaks or alterations. We're trying to fix stuff in a broken system. But if we're really to move forward, we need to change the system. We need to change the way that we view things. I like Henry Ford. Henry Ford said, if I gave people what they wanted, I would have given them faster horses. How many know a car beats a faster horse? Come on, there's a different mode of transportation that God wants us to take this year. And some of us have been whipping our horse, trying to get it to go faster. But God says, hey, I've got a car. Or even better, I've got a plane. In Jesus' name. You know, some of us, you know, we're struggling, we're whipping this horse. But here's the deal. If the horse is dead, dismount. You know, it hasn't been working up till now. Come on, you need to get with what God's saying. I love the fact that when it comes to God's plan and purpose, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 that no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind can conceive what God's planned, prepared for those who love Him. You can't see it with your natural eyes. You can't even hear it with your natural ears. You can't comprehend it in your mind. Right now, the problem in a lot of places is people are trying to intellectualize God. They're trying to understand God in their minds. If you try and do that, that means God can't be bigger than your mind, which isn't that smart. How you receive anything from God is in your spirits. It resonates in your spirit, and it's for you to believe what comes into your spirit. See, I grew up in a pastor's home. You know, I worked out by the age of 18, I listened to over 3,000 sermons. That's a whole lot of sermons. You know, I used to sit there and go, I heard that, that's good, funny joke, yeah. You know, and used to respond on the basis of how somebody preached. But then God really challenged me from John chapter 8, where Jesus said, you shall know the truth and the truth shall set you free. Come on, how many want to live free? Yeah. Notice there, it's not the truth that you've read. It's not the truth that you can quote. It's the truth that you know. And that word know means to learn through your five senses. It means to experience the truth. I felt the Holy Spirit come to me and said, Sam, you've heard a lot. You've even read a bit, you can quote some stuff, but you don't know that much. And as an 18-year-old, I thought, ouch. I said, God, I don't want to just believe in you. I want to experience you. I don't want to just believe you heal. I want to experience your healing power. I don't want to just believe that you provide. I want to see your provision in my life. God, I don't want to just believe you saved. I want to see my friends saved. Too many people settle for a belief. In fact, they lock their Christianity into an ideology or a philosophy. But we're meant to experience God and experience His power. You know, I love Jesus. When He came along, He did many miracles, but one significant miracle He did was the feeding of the 5,000. It's found in Mark chapter 6. It's found in all the other Gospels. It was so significant that Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John all had to record it. They all wanted to get in on it. In fact, this miracle, Jesus would refer back to. How many know when God does a miracle in your life, it's not just for that moment? You know, you can prosper in a moment, but not continue to prosper. Come on, we don't want to just prosper in a moment. We want to continue to prosper until we're very prosperous. And here, 5,000 people, men, were fed in a moment. They're fed in a moment. But Jesus will refer back to it. In fact, in Mark chapter 8, he rebuked the disciples. And he said, are your hearts so hard that you didn't learn from what I did back then? Back there? Are your hearts so hard? You know, how many know you can have something good go on in your life, but it's still not shift or change anything on the inside? You know, by God's grace, you know, we're planting churches right now, a whole lot of churches in Europe. We planted 5 in Germany. Last year, we planted in May last year in Rome, which is pretty cool. And already we've got over 500 people gathering in Rome, you know, which is a miracle. It's God's working. We're in Switzerland. We're planting in Budapest. And God's doing a work. We're planting in Ghana. And, you know, we're in the Philippines. It's great to see our church just in there amongst the conference last night. And, you know, God's doing amazing things, incredible things. But going up to Europe, one thing you come to realize is that many people up there speak multiple languages. That's amazing to me because I only speak one and I don't do it that well. But the guys up there, they can speak 4 to 5 different languages. In fact, our Swiss pastor, when I first met him, he was 18 years of age and he didn't speak a word of English. He used to just smile and nod. He didn't really understand anything, but just smile and nod. Anyway, he came and did an internship in our London church, and he now speaks English. And as he was interning there, he met his Romanian wife. He married a lady from Romania, and she speaks Romanian, and her second language is English. So for them to communicate, they've got to communicate in their second and third languages. And you thought marriage was hard. You know, so often we say, you can't say that. But somehow they've got an understanding that goes beyond the English language I know, at least. And they go, yeah, we can say that. It's all good. You know, but they speak these languages, and I'm just flipping out going, how do you do that? I think of our pastor in Berlin. He's married to a Danish woman, and he speaks, his mother tongue's German, and she speaks Danish but also speaks German, and they switch between languages. But you know, here this guy, he can speak 3 different languages, but he also can preach in 3 different languages. I'm going, wow. Some of you are going, well, what's the big deal with that? Well, the big deal with that is, you know, how many know when you travel, you often learn a few words to get by? When you go into a new country, you think, well, I just need a few words, how to say thank you. You know, I need to know where's the food and where's the bathroom. Yeah, you know, I need to know those things. And so you learn a few words, but you don't speak the language. But, you know, some of us, you know, we study different languages at college, and so we can speak a little bit of a language. You know, how many studied a different language at high school? Look at all you amazing people. And you go to that country and you converse, but if somebody talks too fast, it's over your head. You just miss it. You're speaking it, but you're still thinking in your mother tongue. And you're translating. You know, here's a problem I see in a lot of places is, when it comes to preaching, if you're to preach in another language, you've got to think in the language that you're speaking. You don't have time to translate. Now here's a problem in a lot of places is many people can come into a church like this and speak the language of the kingdom. So they're speaking the language of the kingdom. But some of us, we've just got a few words to get by. That's all right. You know, hang around long enough, you'll learn a lot more. Yeah, you know, some of us, yeah, we speak the language of the kingdom, but we're still translating from the world. And we're wondering why we're not seeing supernatural results. We're wondering why we're not seeing the growth and the things that God's promised fulfilled in our lives. It's because we're speaking, but we're not yet thinking in the language of the kingdom. And if we're to see a shift and we're to see a change, we're going to look at this miracle of the feeding of the 5,000. Because this miracle was recorded to shift the way that we view things. I really believe this morning God wants to overwhelm us. He wants to overwhelm us and disturb our world so we're overwhelmed by the need that's around us. How many know right now this world needs Jesus? I don't know about you, but I look at the news and I get disturbed by what's going on. But yet, in the inside, I feel so inadequate. Because what do I have to offer? The need is enormous. You know, we started in Brazil. 220 million people live in Brazil. What can somebody from New Zealand do in Brazil? What level of impact can they have there? In fact, I spoke there recently and there was a world map on this church and New Zealand wasn't even on the map. I know we have more sheep than people, but we do exist. You know, and you know, what can I do? And you just feel so overwhelmed by it. How many here have ever spilled sugar in the pantry before? How many know that can be quite overwhelming? It's like cleaning that up. That means I'm going to have to take everything out and wipe it all down and then put everything back in. It's overwhelming. How many know sometimes it's easier just to shut the door and walk away? Come on, I know some of you have been guilty of that before. You know, it's so easy. In fact, one time I was on a long-haul flight and there was a whole lot of turbulence. I just, you know, my meal, I went to sleep. I woke up and I needed to throw up, ran to the back of the plane. There was no line. It was a miracle. Opened the cubicle door and threw up right around that cubicle. Hit the ceiling, the walls, the floor, everywhere. How many know the temptation right there was to close the door and walk away? You know, I wonder how many of us do that. When we're surrounded by need, it's just like, what can I do? And we just close the door and we walk away. God wants to overwhelm you, number one, with the need that's in front of you. But secondly, He wants to overwhelm you with His capacity to meet that need. Listen to this, with what's in your hand. If you look at what's in your hand rightly, it can meet that need. But you're going to have to look at it totally different. You know, quickly, just four things, because I really believe God wants to shift things this year. This is going to be a game-changing day. Can't shift things where you're being believing for incremental growth. I believe you're about to step into a whole new dimension in Jesus' name. Come on, in the Spirit. We've got to look at things differently. We've got to see things differently. And number one, if we're to do that, number one, we need to draw a bigger circle. Everybody say, draw a bigger circle. What do you need to do this year? You need to draw a bigger circle. See, the context of the feeding of the 5,000 is the disciples have been really busy. They've been so busy doing ministry that they hadn't even had a chance to eat. How many know that's busy? Because most of us prioritize food in our world. But they've been so busy that they hadn't had a chance to eat. They got in the boat with Jesus thinking they'll get on to get some alone time with Jesus. But once they get to the other side, they see that there's a multitude there. And the Bible tells us that Jesus had compassion on the multitude. He began to speak to them and minister to them. And it was getting late on in the day. And the disciples, they were going, hey, our tummies are rumbling. But they go to Jesus, hey, time out, Jesus, time out, Jesus. You know, the people are hungry. It's getting late in the day. We need to send them into the villages. How many right now know that it wasn't about the people's hunger? Because remember, they'd been so busy ministering that they hadn't had a chance to eat. Now, I want you to be honest this morning. How many parents in church, any parents here? Now, how many parents have ever blamed their children for something that they're feeling? It's like, oh, the kids are really tired. We need to take them home. But you're the one who's tired? Come on now. You know, the kids are really hungry and they're a little bit grumpy. You know, I need to get them home. But you're the tired, grumpy one? Yeah, come on, any honest people in church, how many have ever done that before? What were the disciples doing? They're looking at the crowd. Oh, the people are really hungry. How many know it wasn't about the people's hunger? It was about their own need. So many people, and if they're to be honest, you know, their world is all about their need. In fact, a lot of people wouldn't be in church today if they didn't have enough need to keep them in church. You know, in fact, they show up when they've got need. But the circle of their life is not about anybody else. You know, in fact, the disciples were about to send away a miracle. I wonder how many times, because our life is centered on our need, are we sending away miracles? I believe the challenge of Christianity is to draw a big enough circle that it includes the multitudes, that it includes the masses. Yeah, it's overwhelming, but God has the capacity to bring something miraculous about with what's in our hand, if we just look at it rightly. See, many people, if they're to be honest, you know, their life is just the outline of themselves. The only place you see that normally is at crash scenes, which normally means you're dead. Do you know there's a lot of dead Christians out there? Because their life is centered around themselves. See, when you love Jesus, your life becomes all about others. It becomes about ministering to others, serving others, loving others. It's all about others. See, we need to change our paradigm. Some of us have even written our goals around our need, rather than ministering to the needs of others. I believe God wants to lift our eyes this morning so that we can see that there's a world out there that needs us to draw a bigger circle. Come on, somebody's circle was so big that it included you. You're sitting in this church today because somebody drew a big enough circle that you could fit in. You know, I wonder this year whether we could draw a large enough circle that it incorporate the masses in Jesus' name. Come on, I know God's been moving in this church, but the river's shifted. There's another level in Jesus' name. Come on, if you believe that, say amen. What do we need to do? We need to draw a bigger circle. Perhaps the Lord will act on your behalf. In fact, you know, that's a theme of my ministry. It comes from 1 Samuel chapter 14. Jonathan and his armor bearer took on a whole army, Philistine army, off this revelation. Wait for it. Here it is. Perhaps the Lord will act on our behalf, because he can give us victory with many or with a few. Perhaps. How many want a little bit more than a perhaps? If you're two people going up against a whole army, you'd want more than a perhaps, a maybe. I hope. But here's the deal. God can give victory with many or with a few. If we're to change the game, number one, we need to draw a bigger circle. Number two, we need to see inconveniences as opportunities. What happens when you get to the other side and you're surrounded by needs that you didn't anticipate on? Inconvenient things happen all the time in life. Talk about inconvenience, a multitude being there and feeding that multitude. Jesus said to the disciples, we're not going to send them away. No, you feed them. How are we going to do that? That's a little bit inconvenient when we need food. But I want to declare, in the kingdom, within every inconvenience is an opportunity if you look at it right. You know, we're a church in Auckland now, a main location, packs in, packs out. We've been doing it for the last 8 years. Our guys get up at 5:30 in the morning, don't get home to 9:30 at night. You know, it's inconvenient when you own another venue up the road, but it's just too small. But we've embraced that inconvenience because we need to create more room for people to come in. But what I didn't see was when we were first going to pack in the town hall is that we'd have all our gear, LED screens, everything in a big truck. And that meant that we could take that gear anywhere. It was portable. And what I didn't see at the time was Revolution Tour, which is what we run in New Zealand. It's a schools tour that's in over 250 high schools. You know, in a period of two weeks, over 10 years, every year we're seeing over 2,000 people give their heart to Jesus in 2 weeks. But here's the deal. If we didn't embrace the inconvenience over here, we would have never experienced the opportunity over here. And it's in the embracing of the inconvenience, we actually brought about an opportunity. Some of you right now, oh, that's just too inconvenient. We live in a world right now that loves comfort. Come on, we all like comfort. But if we're to move forward, we need to renounce the God of comfort. Because I've found most God opportunities look inconvenient in the first instance. In fact, last year, after we ran our conference in July, I jumped on a plane to go to Brazil. And I was really tired with just being busy, giving out a whole lot. And I thought, what am I doing? Doing this. So I jumped on the plane and I was on the worst seat in the plane. You know, I was in the middle row of the middle section, right at the back next to the toilet. And to top it off, on the 14-hour flight, my screen didn't work. First world problems right there, people. First world problems, I know. But I thought, what the heck am I doing? Yeah, this guy had invited me a couple of times before, never met him. But he was persistent, so I ended up jumping on the plane, going there. You know, had to fly over. Eventually arrived at 1 a.m. in the morning. And we went to dinner, because that's what you do in Brazil. You have dinner at 1 a.m. in the morning. And so we had dinner, you know, ate. And I said, what led you to invite me? I'm always surprised getting invited anywhere. And I said, what led you to invite me? He said, well, 7 years ago, you know, I was in New Zealand for 6 months. And I just sat at the back of your auditorium and picked up the heart, the spirit, and the culture of what's going on here. And I started this young adult ministry. And this young adult ministry now has grown to 500, but we've hit a bit of a ceiling. So I thought, we'll just bring you over to help us out, see if we can go to the next level. And I'm going, wow, I'd never met the guy before. Yeah, I'd never seen him before. At the end of the conference, he says to me, but what we really want to do is we want to sell, we've decided we're going to sell our house, sell our car, and we'd love to come to New Zealand just for a couple of years, pick up the spirit, because we've got a heart to plant a church in Rio. We want to plant a church in Rio. And, you know, is it all right that we sell our house, sell our car and come over? And I'll go, no. Yeah, how many? I said, yeah. Come. He came over. But, you know, right now we've got a church starting in Rio. You know, so many people go, oh, what's your church planting strategy? Do you get a map out? Do you put pins on the map and go, this is the next place that we're going to go? I want to say, you know, that story there, that's our church planting strategy. How did that happen? It happened by embracing inconvenience. I'm not so much a strategist as I am an opportunist. And we've got to have eyes to see. Come on, business person in this place. You know, what may seem an inconvenience may actually have a touch of God on it. And in every inconvenience, there's an opportunity if you look at things rightly in Jesus' name. Come on, if you want to change the game, you got to see with the eyes of God, and you got to see inconveniences as opportunities. Number one, you need to draw a bigger picture. Number two, you need to see inconveniences as opportunities. Number three is you need to release control. You need to release control. Control is the enemy of growth. And right now, I want to speak to the control freak that lives on the inside of a lot of people in this room. You know, some of you are relaxed on the outside, but on the inside, you're all tensed. You know, it's all tight on the inside. If you want to go to another level, you need to release control. You know, the disciples said, well, how are we going to do that? Even if we're to buy them bread, you know, there'll be more than a year's wages. You know, they're trying to figure it out. They're trying to understand it in their natural mind. And some of us, you know, it's like, well, we don't believe until we understand. But that's not how the kingdom works. You don't have understanding and then you believe. You believe and then you understand. Hebrews talks about by faith we understand that the worlds were formed and fashioned by God. It's by faith we understand. You know, Abraham, the father of faith. I love the story. God takes him outside of his tent. I really believe this morning God wants to take some of us outside of our tent. And he wants us to look up. God says to Abraham, look up. Count the stars if you're able. And he says, so your descendants shall be. That was huge. Abraham in his 80s, you know, believing for children. Yeah, and the Bible says he believed and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Abraham, the father of faith, he believed beyond nature. He believed beyond his understanding. You know, the equivalent of that today would be you and I going into a retirement home looking for an 80-year-old couple and going, hey, God's given me a word. He's just told me that you're going to have a whole lot of babies. How many know you're not going to get a response of somebody believing? You know, you're going to get a slap across the face is what you're going to get. But the Bible says he believed. See, so many of us are trying to figure it out, but when you got it all figured out, you've factored God out. You've dismissed God out of the equation. God wants to move beyond your understanding, beyond your comprehension. Come on, God wants the people who just respond to his spirit and say, yes and amen. I'm going to believe the word of the Lord. I'm not going to believe my natural circumstances. See, you need to release control. Some of us, it's like, oh, we're all tight. And we're wondering why we're not seeing God move. Well, we're wondering why we just see things move forward in increments. You know, so many of us, we think sequentially. But God breaks rules. He breaks rules. You know, my daughter, when she was 3 years old, she said, Dad, after three, can I be 30? No, that's not possible. But I love the fact that she just had a parallel. I thought I could just jump. You're 30. You look good. Can I be 30? You know, so often our mind is going, okay, after three comes four. After four comes, after five comes, seven. You've got it all. It's sequential. Your year's mapped out. Last year, 2018, 2019. You know, your projections. Put it into the calculator, got it figured out, budgets. But we've factored God out. We've dismissed God. Come on, you want to change the game? Come on, God wants to give us a new mode of transportation. Come on, don't live with a horse when you can have a car in Jesus' name. See, if we're to change the game, we need, number one, draw a bigger picture. Number two, we need to see inconveniences as opportunities. Number three, we need to release control. And number four, we need to learn the mathematics of heaven. We need to learn the mathematics of heaven. Here's the deal. You suck at math and you don't even know. Stop calculating. Heaven works things out off a different paradigm. Here's a question I want to ask you. How many people were fed? The Bible tells us 5,000 men. Commentators would say 15 to 20,000 people were fed that day, but 5,000 men. Where did the miracle come from? It came from a young boy with five loaves and two fish. By the way, that's a big lunch. I had two sandwiches growing up. Five loaves? That's a big lunch. But the miracle came from a source that they didn't even count. The miracle came from a source that they overlooked. The miracle came from a source that they dismissed. Could it be the answers to your life that you desire this are going to come from something that you've missed? It's been there all along, but you've missed it. You've overlooked it. You've downplayed it, but God's hands upon it. Come on, God wants to break some people into some new realms, to some new dimensions. You know, I believe, you know, we're about to step into something globally as a church that we've never seen before. I know the 10-year challenge is out there. Many of you done the 10-year challenge. You know, what you look like 10 years ago. You know, everybody's thinking back. But right now, I want you to add 10 years to your age. How old would you be if you're 10 years older? Some of you are freaking out right now. Some of you, just say it out of your mouth. I will be, yeah, listen to it. Some of you can't even say it. You're too scared to say it right now. If I say that, man, I'm getting old. I'm getting old. 10 years. Yeah, here's the deal. If I go What I got in the last 10 years, in the next 10 years, would you be happy? Would you be satisfied? Now, I believe there's something inside each and every one of us that wants greater, that wants more. But for that to happen, we can't yet rely on yesterday. We need to realize that the river's moved. And if we're to see something that's above and beyond, you know, lately I've just been saying to our staff, I've been saying to our leadership team, I've been saying, come on, we've got to see it happen in our lifetime. In my lifetime. Could a nation be one to Jesus? I know we've got more sheep than people, but I'm believing for New Zealand to be saved. Come on, could we see it in our lifetime? Come on, in our lifetime. In our lifetime. See, some of us, I believe it, but you're still living with yesterday's paradigm, with yesterday's strategy. But God wants to provoke us. Today, I believe God wants to disturb our worlds. He wants to disturb our worlds. He wants to rock us in such a way that we apprehend the fullness of God, the fullness of His plan for our life. Come on, if you want to take hold of God in a way like you've never done before, I want you to stand to your feet. I want you to lift your hands to heaven right now, because I believe the Holy Spirit is in this place. And He's about to do something that changes everything. Everything. He doesn't want to make just a few tweaks or alterations. Stop trying to fix something in a broken system. Too many people are trying to, you know, fit the kingdom of God into their world rather than letting the kingdom be their world.
We're so blessed that you joined us today. Thank you for being with us. We'd love to connect with you at church@planetshakers.com, on an email or on any social media platform. Connect with us, and we want to pray for you and believing the best for you. And we'll see you next week. Don't miss out. God bless you.